Let us turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and let us consider again verse 19. Verse 19. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. We have in this chapter the Ten Commandments in full, and it was delivered at Mount Sinai. There was so much of that was so impressive, the impressive presentation of the majesty of God, and we're told in particular all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet. And the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And under these impressions, they were asking for a mediator, that God would not speak directly to them. They were afraid of the consequences of that, lest we die. That was their fear. But they believed that if there was somebody between them and God, somebody who would pass on to them the words of God, then they would be in a safer position. And up to a point, they were speaking wisely. Moses encourages them that God had come to prove them, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And Moses would hear what God had to say, and he would pass on the words of God to the people. Now, there's teaching for us here, and you'll pardon me to the extent that I repeat what I said on Sabbath morning, but I feel there was somewhat more that I was intending to say that could perhaps, with God's blessing, be usefully added. So we had two heads. We went over the first one, which was rather shorter, at least that's how it was intended to be, that the Israelites realized that they were in a dangerous position. If God would come to them, sinners that they were, they would die. But the other thing is, they felt the need of a mediator. One to stand between them and God. That is very much what we should learn from what we have here. We need a mediator. And we spoke about Moses as a mediator between God and the children of Israel. But there is a greater mediator by far. A glorious mediator, one who took our nature, and yet he has the nature of God. He is the nature of God and the nature of man. He was from all eternity God. Yes. But in the fullness of time, he took our nature. What a great matter. The eternal God taking human nature and taking human nature into union with his eternal divine person. He came as mediator to take his place between us and God. He came that he might fulfill the offices. Yes, you have that in the Shorter Catechism, or perhaps we could use the word functions. The functions of prophet, of priest, and of king. And you have these doctrines summed up in the Shorter Catechism in brief terms, and therefore it should be relatively easy to carry these summaries away with us, and that we would seek to make use by God's grace of Christ as mediator. You see, we cannot enter into the presence of God without a mediator. We're to learn that from what we have here. We cannot enter into the presence of God without a mediator. And you see, here is the great kindness of God. He has provided a mediator, a suitable mediator, one who can enter into the presence of God, and one who can lay his hand also upon us human beings. Now, Moses was himself a remarkable mediator. We touched on that on Sabbath, that he was a prophet, but he was unique as a prophet in the way that God would speak to him. He spoke to him face to face, not like other prophets, but he spoke to him face to face. There was obviously some very much closer way that God revealed to Moses what he had to say. But then, in speaking about, or speaking to Moses as a mediator, God highlights the greater prophet that was to come, one who would be like Moses, but how much more glorious. You see, when Moses came down from the mountain, his face glowed. How remarkable that was. But you see, if there wasn't the outward glow on the face of Christ, except on the Mount of Transfiguration, how glorious he was. How completely he revealed the Father to sinners. He was coming where we are as a prophet who can reach out hearts and teach us what teaching we need. We get teaching in various ways in this world. We get teaching from books, teaching especially from the Bible, teaching from the preaching of the word. But which of these can reveal to the heart what the Lord would have us know? Of the means that I mentioned, how is it possible to reveal the truth to the heart? We need that. We must have teaching that can affect the heart. We must have teaching that will affect the heart. And the teaching of Christ as the mediator can reach the heart. Of course, there may be a human instrument involved. There may be a preacher involved. But how does it reach the heart? The great truth, for instance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That sinners would know from and would know inwardly the great truth that Christ is a mediator, able to reach the heart, able to work by the Holy Spirit, so that we might know Jesus Christ and know the Father. How is that? Oh well, there's this also in it, that he gives the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit given for the sake of Christ. Let us have that in mind. All these blessings are for the sake of Christ. They are what Christ purchased when he was in this world. He went to the cross that he might deliver sinners from going down to destruction. Now, you see, there is this matter of sacrifice. And how are sinners going to receive blessings? And I did quote this on Sabbath, but it very much bears quoting again. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice that on thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen, in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. He would come to the children of Israel and he would bless them. Now, these were blessings, great blessings. They would be brought into the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. They would get great blessings. But you see, they wouldn't get a single blessing. And especially they wouldn't get spiritual blessings apart from sacrifice. And how many sacrifices that were offered year by year, day by day in Israel, at the tabernacle or at the temple. Oh, let there be somebody, let the whole nation be longing for particular blessings. Can they just pray for a blessing? Well, they need the mediator. They need the mediator to offer a sacrifice. And in that sense, of course, I think I've brought that out, the mediator, Moses as mediator, was very much seeking for blessings and a means of blessings being given to Israel. But it was Aaron and the other priests who were offering sacrifice. And you see, Aaron was a mediator. There were many mediators. The kings were mediators. The prophets were mediators. But you see, there's this special mediator, the priest, whichever priest it might be, and particularly the high priest at the time, and Aaron as the first high priest. And you can think of him going to the altar, as the promise refers to that here, verse 24. Going to the altar with his sacrifice. Yes, he's standing between sinners and Israel, standing between sinners and Israel and the great God of eternity. And he offers a sacrifice. And what does that say? What is that saying? Aaron just now is the mediator, offering a sacrifice. Because sin is to be atoned for. And it's a priest that can offer up sacrifice. And he offers the sacrifices. And you can think of the sacrifice being accepted. Because a God-appointed mediator has come before him and done what was appointed in the way of offering up a sacrifice. But you see, a better sacrifice was needed and a better priest was needed. And we are to go to that priest and we are to be asking, Lord, may I have the high priest working on my behalf. Oh, if you are concerned about your soul, concerned about your sin, go looking for a high priest. Go looking for a mediator. And where will you go looking? Go looking in the Word of God. Listen to the preaching of the Word. Listen to, or read what you find, say, in a book of good sermons. And you see, sooner or later you will find sermons speaking about the mediator, speaking about the priest. Oh Lord, you may ask, may I get blessings for the sake of the mediator. The mediator who is a priest. And may I be looking for Christ to bless me on account of what he has done. Yes. And what we have in verse 24 is just a picture and perhaps a series of pictures about what was done on behalf of sinners in Israel. But we are sinners and we need forgiveness and we need to be prepared for eternity and we need a sacrifice. And there is a perfect sacrifice offered that was illustrated by the animals. They were to be perfect, they were to be without blemish, but that was just a picture, useful and all as these pictures in the Word of God are. But, you see, take another look at the mediator. Take another look at the high priest in Israel. And he has offered the sacrifice. The sacrifice is burning on the altar. The sacrifice is a substitute for sinners, or a substitute for the whole of Israel. But, you see, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest goes in before the Lord. He is showing in that way, particularly, that he is a mediator. Going before the Lord in the inner part of the tabernacle or temple, whichever it was at whichever time in Israel's history, he brings the evidence of the sacrifice and he sprinkles it on the mercy seat. He is going in before the Lord and saying in effect, I am bringing the evidence of the sacrifice. And then high priest is to come out again. It is said that they tied a rope or something around the leg of the high priest so that if anything happened to the high priest, if the judgment of God fell upon him, that he would be pulled out. But I wonder if there was not a great deal of unbelief in that. If the high priest was going in with the blood of the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, the sacrifice that was appointed by God, or the sacrifices, surely if he offered that up faithfully, even just in an outward way, surely they should have believed that he would come out safely. And so it is that the great mediator, when he has offered up himself as a sacrifice, he is going to enter in, or when he dies, when his human body and his human soul are separated, when he dies, when he has offered up the sacrifice, he enters in within the veil. And we should believe that. You see, what is being said before us, that a sacrifice was offered up which was accepted. That is demonstrated on the third day when the resurrection takes place. You see, that's our mediator. If we believe, that's our mediator. The great high priest going in before the Most High. Yes. How complete that work was. And you see, we don't need anything more. We shouldn't be looking for anything more. We should believe that the great work that Christ accomplished is enough, absolutely enough. It's a complete work. Yes, a complete work. You see, Christ was saying through Isaiah, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And he comes out of the grave and he is saying something to this effect. Look unto me by faith and be saved, for I am God. I am the God-man. I am the one who has entered in within the veil into heaven itself to present the merits of my sacrifice. And you can think of Christ taking the petitions of his people day by day throughout history, and he is presenting the merits of his death before the Father, and he is saying, look unto me and be ye saved. Look unto me and believe that the merits of Christ's death are being presented again and again before the Father. There's salvation for sinners. There's every blessing that they need. Oh, come, sinner, look to Christ. He is ready to save. He is ready to present your petitions, poor and all as they are. He's the mediator, you see. He's the mediator. Well, we're to look to him. That's the call of the gospel. We mustn't reject the call of the gospel. We must cry for grace to look to Christ and be saved. There's salvation. And I look at the crucified one. I can't remember who was using that expression. But you see, we should believe that. We should receive it. We should seek grace to look. And you see, if the Savior is working in our souls, and if the Savior is speaking to us through the Word and speaking to us by the Spirit, then we must believe that he is ready to bless, that he is ready to present the merits of his sacrifice so that there would be a blessing. Yes, oh, let us all be laying hold of Christ as a great and glorious Savior. He's suited to be a mediator. He's suited to stand in our place before the throne of God, or to sit on the throne. You see, there's a perfect provision, and we're to be looking away from ourselves, and we're to be considering what has been done, what is being done. We can take that verse from Ephesians 3, where Paul says, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, of Christ. We have boldness. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. We've been considering that in the recent past. Let us come boldly. Oh, sinner, come boldly, come with confidence, which is the sort of thing I was trying to point to a few minutes ago. Let us come boldly, let us come with confidence. Let us come with confidence that the Word of God is true, that what it says about the mediator is true, that what it says about the perfect, the complete work of the great high priest, that is true. That Christ is before the throne, that is true. And go on. Think of these things that are revealed in the Word of God. It's all true. And we're to be resting in that. Oh, may the Lord give His grace to be resting our guilty souls on what was done for sinners and what is being done for sinners. You see, Christ is still carrying on His work as a mediator. Christ is still carrying on His work as a mediator. We need a mediator. Well, there is a mediator. And there's Christ as prophet and priest and king. You see? And I can't spend long in speaking about Christ as a mediator, but you see, as far as the people of God are concerned, He is ruling and defending them and restraining and conquering all His and our enemies. You see, these are things we cannot do ourselves, but He stands between us and God to defend us, to rule us, as if we couldn't receive the commands of God directly, but through the mediator. There's this in it, that He, on the basis of what He did in this world as priest, on the basis of what He is doing before the Father, He is priest, He is ruling us, bringing the truth to bear upon our souls, bringing the commandments to bear upon our souls. Yes. So that we are able to obey these commandments, in a degree at least. He is standing between God, who is commanding, and He is able to give us the grace that we need so that we would obey. And how, in all sorts of ways, we have grace to help in time of need because Christ is the mediator. Grace to help in time of need. So we are to be going to God through Christ, not trying to get into the presence of God directly. Our God is a consuming fire. You hear that in Hebrews 12. We need to get past that consuming fire, or into that consuming fire, if I can put it like that. Well, there's Christ who can go where the Father is. Christ who can go and present our petitions and obtain all the blessings that we need. Yes, oh, we need blessings. We need great blessings. We need the blessing of salvation. We need to be provided for so that we might get safely into eternity. We need to be provided for that we might get safely through this world. How can that be? Through the mediator, through the one who died, through the one who presents the petitions of needy sinners in this world. He is able to supply all our needs. He is able to give us all the blessings that we need. And let us go to Him. Hey, let us come boldly, that we might obtain mercy, that we might obtain blessings. And in times of particular need, especially, that we're to be looking and looking again so that we might obtain mercy. May the Lord bless His word to us.